Chapter 11. Arrived this afternoon. Alton quite slipped off his drink, and was offensively sarcastic as I worked on the forepart with wires, getting her into the shelters alongside the mole. I hastened up to Bruges, and in the mess heard several items of news and found two letters. The first, in a well-known handwriting, I opened eagerly, but received a chill of disappointment when I read its single line. I am here when you want me, Z. So she thinks to break my resolution. The second letter gave me a great surprise. It was from Rosa. S.E. has passed some examination, and is coming here of all places as a Red Cross nurse. She says she is looking forward to going round a U-boat. She assumes a good deal, still, I suppose I must be polite to her. But why the deuce does she sign herself, yours, Rosa? I'll have to be on my guard against Miss Rosa. I heard today that I am likely to be appointed to the Periscope School in a few weeks' time, and meanwhile I am to be attached as supernumerary to the Operations Division on old Max's staff. The work here is most interesting. The impasse with Zoe continues, and my peace of mind has been disturbed by the actual arrival of Rosa. She rang me up within 12 hours of her arrival, and I was obliged to call. That was the day before yesterday. Rosa is at the number 3 hospital here. She was simply longing to have tea in the gardens. I was obliged to promise to take her there. Her main object was obviously to be seen walking with a U-boat officer. Yesterday, I found myself walking about with her at my side, when I suddenly saw Zoe, accompanied by Babette, in the distance. I hastily altered course, and pray she didn't see me. In the course of the afternoon, Rosa had the impertinence to say that at Frankfurt they were saying that I was interested in a beautiful widow at Bruges. I told Rosa she could write to all the busybodies at home and tell them from me to go to the devil. 3 more boats, 2 of which are UCs, are overdue. It looks as if the barrage at Dover which got Weissman has got Althofen as well. I wonder what new devilry they have put down there. How one wishes that in 1914, instead of seeking the capture of Paris, we had realized the importance of the Channel ports to England, and struck for them. It would not have been necessary to strike even in September, 1914. We could have walked into them. Dunkirk, at all events, should have been ours. However, we must do the best with things as they are, not that I would consider it too late even now to make a big push for the French coast. It would seem that all the pushing is to be at the other end of the line, in the Verdun sector, from the rumors I hear, though I should have thought once bitten twice shy in that quarter. Saw Zoe again in the distance, and I think she saw me. At all events she turned round and walked away. Met Rosa today at old Max's house, where I went to pay a duty call. Her Excellency is as forbidding a specimen of her sex as any I have ever met. She quite frightened me, and in the home circle the old man seemed quite subdued. I escorted Rosa home, and on the way to her hospital she gave me a great surprise, as after much evasive talk she suddenly came out with the news that she was engaged to Heinrich Palmer, of UC-23. I was quite taken aback. I congratulated her with genuine feeling. The knowledge that she was a promised woman altered my feelings towards her, and before I meant to, I had told her a considerable amount about Zoe. It gave me much relief to be able to unburden myself and confide my difficulties elsewhere than in the pages of this journal. I have asked the girl to tea tomorrow. An air raid last night. British machines, of course. They seem determined to get over the town, and from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. relays of machines, of which not one was shot down, attacked us. The din was tremendous, and sleep was out of the question. Morning revealed surprisingly little damage, as is often the case in these big raids, whereas a few bombs from a chance machine often work havoc. I was down at 50 BC Aerodrome this morning, and heard that, as soon as the moon suits, we are going to make Dunkirk sit up as retaliation for last night's efforts. There were also rumors of big attacks impending on London, as soon as the new type of Gothas are delivered. That will shake the smug security of those cursed islanders. Rosa came to tea, and afterwards I told her more about Zoe, and as I expect any day, to be appointed to the Periscope School at Kiel, I asked Rosa to try and effect an introduction to Zoe, and do what she could for me. Rosa gave me the impression that she was somewhat surprised that I should have had any difficulty with Zoe. I am ordered to report myself at Kiel by next Monday. I am tempted to ring Zoe before I leave. It seems dreadful to leave without a word. At Kiel. The work here is strenuous, and the grass does not grow under one's feet. The course for commanding officers lasts 4 weeks, and terminates in a practical but fearsome test. They have 6 steamers camouflaged after the English fashion with dazzle painting, and these 6 steamers, protected by launches and harbor defense craft, steam across Kiel Bay in the manner of a convoy. The officer being examined has to attack this group of ships in one of the instructional submarines, and in 3 attacks he must score at least 2 hits, or else he is returned to general service in the fleet. I have written nothing here for a fortnight. I have been most depressed through a letter I received from Fritz. It contained 2 items of bad news. I heard for the first time of the tragedy of Heinrich Bommer's boat, and to my astonishment Fritz tells me that Rosa and another girl were in her when she was lost. It appears that she was to go out for a couple of hours diving off the port as a matter of routine after her 2 months overhaul. She went out at 10 a.m., and was sighted from the signal station at the end of the mole at 11:30. Almost immediately afterwards there was an explosion and she disappeared. Motor boats were quickly on the scene, but only debris came to the surface. Divers were sent down, and reported that she was in 10 meters of water, completely shattered. It is assumed that she struck a chance drifting mine which was moving down the coast on the tide. Meanwhile, Rosa and another sister were missing from the hospital, and after 48 hours someone put 2 and 2 together and started investigations. It has been ascertained that Bommer motored down from Bruges after breakfast, and that in the car were 2 figures taken to be sailors, as they were muffled up in oilskins. This fact was noted by the control sentries, as though the day was showery, it was not raining hard. Other scraps of evidence unite in showing that these 2 girls who had induced Bommer to take them out for a dive as a treat. What a tragedy! It must have been instantaneous. Poor Rosa, with all her vanities about war work, to think that the war would claim her like that. Fritz added that old Max is almost off his head with rage over the whole business. Great excitement here, as the day after tomorrow His Imperial Majesty the Kaiser and Hindenburg are due to pay Kiel a surprise visit. We are to be inspected and addressed. Tremendous preparations are going on. His Majesty, accompanied by the great Field Marshal, inspected us this morning, and made a fine speech, of which we have been given printed copies. I shall frame mine, and hang it in my boat, if I get a command. I transcribe it. Officers and men of the U-boat service. In the midst of the anxious moments in which we live, I have determined to make time to come and witness in my own person the labors of those on whom I and the fatherland rely. Fresh from the great battles on the west, which are gnawing at the vitals of our hereditary enemies, I come to those whose glorious mission it will be to strike relentlessly at our most deadly and cunning enemy, cursed Britain. God is on our side, and will protect you at sea, for in striking at the nation which openly boasts that it aims at starving our women and children, you are engaged on a mission of undoubted holiness. You must sink and destroy, even as of old the Israelites smote and destroyed the alien races. To the officers I would particularly say, my person is your honor, and I am your supreme chief. From my hands you will receive honor, and from my hands will proceed just punishment for the unhappy ones who fail in their duty. To the men I would say, trust and obey your officers as you would your God. Officers and men, In you, your Kaiser and fatherland place their trust. Let neither be disappointed. After his address, His Majesty graciously spoke a few words to individuals, of whom I had the signal honor of being one. I felt that I was in the presence of an emperor. His gestures, his eyes, his voice, impressed me as belonging to a man born to command, and to fill high places. The field marshal never opened his mouth. I understand from his ADC that he rarely speaks in public. The colonel is killed. When I think about it, I am so excited I can hardly write. I heard the great news last night, quite by accident. I was sitting in the mess after dinner, and picked up Daiwaki, glancing at the pictures. I saw the portrait of Colonel Stein, of the Brandenburgers, killed on the 7th instant near Ypres. My first impulse was to send her a wire, but I wrote her a letter. I told her in the letter that I had made mistakes, but that a telegram to me would make me the happiest of men. I wrote that yesterday, but have had no wire. A long letter from Zoe. She still refuses to marry me. Kiel, 17th. I hate Zoe, as he has broken my heart. I arrived at Bruges after tea, and went at once to the flat. I told her I understood a decent interval must elapse before we married, but I failed to see what prevented our marriage. She maintained an obstinate silence. She maddened me by reflecting, I love you, Carl, and am yours, but I cannot marry you. I continued to press her, those glorious eyes of hers filled with tears. I was a brute. I was heartless. I was inconsiderate. I could not love her. I was cruel. Broken-hearted and dispirited, I told her to choose there and then. She collapsed onto a sofa in a storm of tears, and after a severe mental struggle I took the only possible course, and leaving the room, left her forever. Today I went through my final test for qualification as U-boat commander. At 9 a.m. I proceeded to sea in command of the U-11, one of the instructional boats here. We proceeded out into Kiel Bay. On board and watching my every movement was a committee consisting of a commander and two lieutenant commanders. On arrival at the entrance lightship, I was ordered to attack a convoy of camouflaged ships which were just visible about 15 kilometers away off the spit bank. On coming up for my final observation, I found myself in an excellent position, 1,000 meters on the bow of the leading ship. I gave the leader the two bow torpedoes, and turning 16 points, fired my stern tube at the third ship of the line. Two hits were obtained. I met the ADC to the chief of the staff and in conversation with him discovered that three boats were being detached from the Flanders flotilla for an unknown destination. I have dropped a line to Fritz Rijels, who is on old Max's staff, and told him that I do not wish to return to Bruges, and I further hinted that I understood a detached squadron was proceeding somewhere. A letter from Fritz, he informs me positively that I shall not be at Bruges. On the strength of this, I have wired to Fritz, I have a recollection that Cording's boat is one of the U-40-U-60 class, and as for destination, I care not. Diary of a U-boat commander.